My name is Guofei Gu from Georgia Tech. So I'm working on intrusion detection, malware detection and defense, with a recent focus on botnet. Today, I'd like to share some of the interesting research we have done and a useful system we have developed. This is a joint work with Phil Finot Martin from SRI International and Wenqi, my advisor. We are talking about botnets. Yes, you might already hear about this buzzword. If you look at a website, read newspaper or magazine, you might know this is a big problem. Millions of computers are compromised and becoming part of botnets. And this trend is still growing. People are worried about where we are in this botnet matter. And people tend to believe botnets are one of the most severe threats to internet security. So, what are bots and botnets today? A bot is a malware that has two characteristics. First, it has a remote control facility. We often call C&C, command and control, where a remote attacker, often referred as botmaster, can issue a command and control the bot to execute whatever he wants. The C&C can be based on existing common protocol like IRC, HTTP, or even P2P. Second, a bot has a spreading mechanism to propagate, just like Euroworm. They can use remote vulnerability scan, or email, or drive-by download, or instant message to propagate. Botnets are networks of bots, thousands or even millions. Nowadays, bots and botnets are used for a couple of bad things. For example, distributed denial of service. There are evidence that a recent denial of service attack against Estonia is launched from the botnet. And according to some statistics, over 70% of spams are sent from botnets. And botnets can be used to click fraud to make money for the botmaster. And also, they can steal your private information, confidential information on your computer like ID, credit card. They can use keylogger or screen capture to capture your password. And they can also use to distribute other malware like spyware. And what's worse, bots are very flexible and powerful. They are actively evolving every day. They change their infection vectors. They can frequently update their binary. They can change CNC server or even change the communication patterns. And they can change scanning strategy. Although botnets seems a big problem, but till now, we do not have a very good solution yet. Traditional intrusion detection system or intrusion prevention systems turn out to be less helpful in identifying bots. Because a successful bot infection usually involves multiple flows, multiple assets, and multiple states. If you only look at like traditional ideas, look at isolated states, it's very unlikely to see the big picture to capture the real bots. And that will cause a lot of false positives. Here is a real case study. This is a variant of FatBot. So the attacker, which was infected victim on the internet, it tried to propagate. And in this case, the bots sent quite a few scans, sent four different infecting vectors, try to locate which port is vulnerable on some victim machine in your network. And it identified that the port 135 is vulnerable, then he sent an exploit. The victim was infected. And in the next step, the victim will open a backdoor and begin egg downloading, which will download a more functional binary, which is bigger than a simple exploit. After the egg downloading, the victim will connect to the command and control server. In this case, it's through IRC protocol. And usually the next step is to try to propagate and by scanning others. We can clearly see there's a multiple flow and multiple assets, multiple state involved in the infection sequence. Only look at one specific aspect is probably not enough. We propose Bot Hunter, which is the first bot detection system using using IDS-driven dialog correlation. It can protect your network by sitting at the boundary of your enterprise network. It monitors the two-way communication pattern between the local assets and the outside internet for any sign of malware. It correlates the dialog trail of inbound intrusion alarms and the outbound communication patterns. Once it identifies enough evidence, a bot profile will be declared, which will tell you which machine in your network was infected, and by who, and which CNC server is contacted. And also, we will tell you a lot of details about this, about the dialog trail during the infection. Bot Hunter employs an infection lifecycle model, which abstracts the infection sequence during most of the malware lifecycle. So if we see the right graph, we can see we can pretty much use five steps to abstract the infection sequence under most of the malware bots we see. In the first stage, the malware will do an inbound scan. We call it E1 event. And then the bot sends an infection. We call it E2. And the egg downloading event, we call E3. Command and control communication, we call E4. And then there is the outbound scan, we call E5. Bot Hunter will look at search for duplicate communication sequence, which can map to the infection lifecycle model. We need to point out, we do not assume all these five events can be detected or observed. And also, we do not require a strict order because some bots, they can do scanning before they contact CNC. It's very flexible. But we do require a temporal locality. To map the communication sequence to the infection lifecycle model, we use the network dialog correlation matrix. So in this table, each row is the local machine that you want to protect. And each column shows the corresponding events, dialog, or we call dialog warning, you observe. We use a weighted scheme to accumulate enough evidence. If there are enough evidence collected, we will declare a bot. So we observe that only the external stimulus, like E1 or E2, is probably not enough to declare a bot, because there are so many such kind of intrusion attempts or failed infection attempts on the network. So we should combine the external stimulus and the internal stimulus. Also, so if we observe two or more internal bot behavior, such as E3, E4, or E5, for example, if we observe a local machine has CNC communication pattern along with the scanning pattern, which should be a strong indication of bot infection. Some of the details about the correlation framework are in the paper. So now I will introduce the architecture of the bot hunter system. We implement the system based on open source software, Snort. Bot hunter sit at the egress point and listen to the traffic. Whenever traffic goes through, it will be examined by three engines, two anomaly engines and one signature engine. We developed two anomaly engines as anomaly plugin for Snort. The first anomaly engine is Slave, which will look at the payload and try to identify if there is any suspicious exploit attempt and generate E2 dialog warning. Second anomaly engine, Skate, will look at inbound and outbound scanning pattern and generate E1 or E5 dialog warning. Snort signature engine, of course, will generate E2, E3, and E4 dialog warning based on some malware-specific rule set we made. There is a bot hunter correlator which will pass these dialog warnings and try to map the event sequence to the infection model. And if enough evidence is collected, we will generate a bot profile which will tell you a confidence score, the victim IP, the attacker, the CNC center, and along with the full evidence trail. Another feature is that you can config bot hunter to deliver the bot profiles to a centralized repository. You can do these profiles can be anonymized and sent through TLS over Tor. We need to point out the correlation engine is very flexible, which means you can plug in your own detector in the system and do a little bit configuration in the XML file. Then it can involve new detection sensor or even new infection model. Now, let's go over some details about the sensors we use. SCADE, Statistical Scan Anomaly Detection Engine, which is a customized malware scan detection using a weighted scheme. We use the bounded memory users, which is bounded to the number of local hosts, so that it is less vulnerable to the denial of service attack, which tries to assume all your memory. For the inbound E1 detection, we use a weighted scheme, which give high weight to failed connection on the final ports. For outbound E5 detection, we use three anomaly models. First, we look at the scanning rate because a higher scanning rate is suspicious. And second, we look at the failed connection rate and also give higher weights to the failed connection on the final ports. And third, we also look at normalized entropy of the visiting target, which means a normal host is unlikely to uniformly visit a lot of IP address at a short time. So we can combine these anomaly models using ways such as majority voting and generate E5 alert, dialog warning. Slate, Statistical Payload Anomaly Detection Engine, is the n-gram bidistribution detection system, but we use a novel lossy data structure, which is different from previous n-gram scheme. The previous n-gram scheme was first proposed by Kerwan in RAID 2004, but we use a different one because we realized in the real world it's very hard to use the 4 n-gram because even for a 4 gram case, there are 256 to 4 feature space you need to store and do calculation, which makes the 4 n-gram scheme impractical. Instead, we use the constant space and using some trick to do the feature mapping. And it comes out to be very efficient and accurate. The accuracy can be comparable to the full n-gram skin. It demonstrates low false positive and false negative. The detailed analysis are in the paper. Here, I just now show you some general performance comparable to pair. To detect all 18 HTTP attacks, the false positive of pair is about 4%, but SLED is only about 0.3%. The signature engine is by default not, but we use the customized rule set. We replaced the previous SNOT rule set. The rule set covers the dialog content, like the exploit, like the shellcode, the egg downloading, CNC communication pattern. And we collect this rule from three sources. First is bleeding edge malware rule set. And second is SNOT community rule set. We also develop our own rule set according to our experience. Currently, there are more than 1,000 rules in operation, and they demonstrate low false positive. Okay, now I will give you some idea about what's the example profile the bot hunter will generate. So here is the result which is generated in the Fortune network, and so it will first tell you some summary. So who is the victim, who is the attacker, and who is the CNC, and what time, and what's the confidence score. And then you will see a full dialogue tree. For example, in this case, we have exploit detection. It indicates a shellcode, and also there's a dialogue warning from Slate, and there is a TFTP downloading attempt, and some CNC communication patterns. Also, SCADE also detect the outbound scanning attempts. Now, I will show you some experimental results. First is the result at SI HoneyNet. So SI HoneyNet is a higher interactive HoneyNet, which provide a pretty good ground truth to test bot hunter system. In the last 3 months, we observed totally about 7,000 infection, and with over 6,000 unique attack address. Among these, only 14 are missed by bot hunter, which means we have a false negative. Small false negative, but the detection rate is greater than 99% so far. And shortly, I will show you the web interface of the HoneyNet system, and you will have some idea about what's going on and what a typical false negative look like. So we also test on Georgia Tech. So the first is also on the virtual network. So we compiled source code of the some representative bot families, including ArgoBot, FatBot, RBot, IXBot, and GDBot. They are all successfully detected by Bot Hunter. And there's also a real capture in the live network at Georgia Tech network in February 2007. Bot Hunter declared a bot infection via dialog warning E1, E4, and E5. And we validated that E4, the CNC communication to IP address, this IP address is listed in the shared server list and also in the botnet mailing list. So far, the detection performance is so good, so you may worry about how about the false positive. So in Georgia Tech network, so we deploy a system and real-time operation for about, in a 4 months run, there are only less than one false profile per day generated on average. We also test, Joyatech network has about 1,000 machines, and a typical traffic rate is above 100 Mbps. We also tested on the SI network, computer science lab, which has about 100 machines. We tested on a 10-day trace, and only one false positive generated. All these false positives are generated because there are some inaccurate signature score combined with the anomaly dialog warning. To summarize, so we present a new network parameter warning monitoring strategy we call dialog warning, dialog correlation. So which is different from existing work, such as load correlation. Load correlation, so either use load aggregation, or they use the defined precondition and postcondition to try to perfectly match a sequence. But in the bot infection case, we may miss some events. We don't know which one we have missed. So it's very hard to use previous correlation approach, IDS correlation approach. And then we also develop a new bot detection system, Bot Hunter, which is in real-time operation for several months on real network. And also, you can download the Bot Hunter system for free on this URL. And now, so I will show you some real examples. So this is the Bot Hunter release page. So if you click, you can download Bot Hunter from here. And also, if you click the testing live testing page, you will see some testing result at SI Honeynet system. So this is a public page because we censor some private information, but you can still visit that. So let's click on, let's say, August 7. So this page, so in each row is the infection, which observed in the high interactive Honeynet system. The left show the time and the victim system and the victim attacker IP or CNC address if we observe. So here, so we look at the bot hunter will generate a profile if it is successfully detected. For example, so we can look at this profile which is generated. So we can see this is a summary, a general summary, and these are evidence trails. We see we received exploit, and we see a downloading, and we also observed outbound scan. So and then we declare the bot profile. And if we click this raw alert, you can see the detail of the alerts which generate in the evidence trail. So as I said, we have some false negative which is missed by the bot hunter. So here is an example. So this row indicates that bot hunter is not successful because it only generates a confidence score of 0.3, which is not high enough to declare a bot. But if we look at the reason why bot hunter missed the detection, we look at the network level communications. Okay. So the reason is that although the victim was successfully received the exploit, but and it tried to get a binary, but it failed to connect to the address to get a binary, which means the infection is not complete, and we can say it's not successful, incomplete infection. So this is not the fault of bot hunter. So this is a typical case of a false negative. So that's the end of my talk. And thank you. Now I'd like to take your questions.
Thorsten Holz, University of Mannheim. Thanks a lot for the talk. I really like the work. My main question is, how do you deal, so if you go back to your model of how you catch this kind of things, how do you deal with bots that do not do inbound scanning, that propagate, for example, with the help of emails like PCOM, or that use malicious websites via drive-by downloads? How do you fit these kind of bots into your model?
Good question. So the question is that what if the bot does not have some of the events, like one, it does not scan, like using email. So how do we detect them? The answer is that, as I said, although we use this model, but we claim we do not require we observe each event. As long as we see there is, for example, there is a CNC communication, there is a scanning pattern, we can still declare the bot. And as I said, you can easily, using a new detector and slightly change the model in the config file, so to detect new bot. And actually, so we observed some instance, some bot profile we generated, they do miss the initial infection, including E1, E2, E3, because there are probably some laptop which is already infected and they plug into our network. But then we observe the E4 and E5. Then we still detect them.
So can I just quickly follow up on Thorsten's question? So yes. if I restricted myself to E4 and E5, wouldn't that catch the majority of the things that you are actually indeed catching here?
The quick answer is no, because you may not detect them also.
So maybe you can come back to this later, but if you can tell us a little bit of breakdown of how success, which one of these, was there, more weight given to any one of your...
We could give more weight to E2 and... And we are actually, for all internal stimulus like E3 and E4, E5, we give relatively high weights. If you look at our paper, we talk about how we can get these weights and using a regression model.
Yeah. How do you handle time in, especially how do you expire the events? Because, and I guess the question is, could an attacker, just by slowing the time between the different events,
Excellent
escape
question.
Detection?
Excellent question. So the question is, how do we define a time window? And can the attacker use this time window to evade the detection? And the answer is, we realize any time window-based scheme are vulnerable to this delayed attack, and not specific to bot hunter. But there are some strategies we can use. For example, the time window is can be set by Europe, and the correlation can be run either real time or offline. The Euro can do it offline using a relatively light time window, do several times. And second, you can set the time window as a random so that the attacker can hardly predict the time window.
Did you compare your detection and false positive rates to just running Snort with E2, E3, and E4?
Yes. To give you some impression, so if you only look at the dialog warning from individual sensors, right, including Snort engine and anomaly engine, there may be about 20K dialog warning generated per day. But if we use these are a lot of false positives for any administrator to handle. And if we use Bot Hunter and it generates a great reduction of profile you need to look at.
Guofei, you're collecting a very significant number of events here. What are you going to do with all this data that you're collecting?
Okay, so the question is now some concern about the collection of profiles. Yes, you can if you download software and you can choose to contribute the bot profile to our repository. And you may have the concern, but we guarantee we do we anonymize the profiles. We will remove the sensitive information. And this profile can be sent through TSL over Tor and sent to our repository. And we use this profile for research purpose. We try to study the false positive performance, as you reported, and we try to study the large portion of bot propagation. And we can hopefully we can generate a dynamic behavior pattern for the bot.
Okay, so in the interest of time, we'll just take one more question.
What would you say is the main difference between your previous work in DSN, which correlated the inbound communication with the outgoing scan detection, with this work? Thanks.
Can you repeat the question again?
In a previous paper on DSN, you correlate the inbound communication with the outgoing scan from an infected host in order to detect worms, and I'm just wondering what is the main difference with this work.
Okay, the main difference. So the main difference is that we use a more defined infection model, which is specific to, for a general purpose of bot infection. And we developed the real system using several, based on different ID sensor and using a new correlation engine.
Okay, go ahead, Dawson. Last question. Let's go.
Okay, last question. If you go back one slide, so as a bot herder, I would just...
Which slide?
Then one more. With the TSL, the Tor.
Okay, yeah.
As a bot herder, I would just take your system and then basically flood your system with just bogus alerts in order to basically make it useless so that I can basically generate profiles that look like Microsoft.com would be a CNC server so that...
Excellent question.
How do you protect the flooding?
So the question is that so if we collect the profile from the different from the users, so what if a malicious user try to fool us using sending us the faked profile? So we consider this problem, and so far we didn't do much work on this yet. But I think this is probably future work, and we need to consider. Maybe we'll use a new authentication scheme for that purpose.
Okay, let's thank the speaker.